The winters of our lives can often be harsh and easily leave us feeling defeated, wondering, will this ever change? Is there hope? Will I have the courage to weather another storm? Anyone know that feeling? Mordecai did. So when we met Mordecai and Esther, things were really good. And they were just assimilating with their world, and they were just towing the line and jumping the fence and doing all good and hiding who they were. And life was good until Haman came on the scene. And he and his old drinking pal, Xerxes, decided, what's a few hundred thousand Jewish people? Let's drink on that and kill them. I don't even need your money. So as we turn the page to get to chapter 4 of Esther, the die had been cast, the Purim. The date had been set, and all was left was 11 months, and that would be the end of them all. And Mordecai knew it wasn't just time to take a stand. Now was time to get into action. So read with me. Esther 4, chapter 4, verse 1. I'm just going to do 1 and 2 for now. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, that's the edict that went out and getting ready to kill them all. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. Let me tell you what happens between here and verse 12, where we'll pick it up again. So Esther learns of the antics of Mordecai. She sends him a note and says, Mordecai, get your act together. You're going to get us all killed. Stop your nonsense. Don't do this. So now there's a back and forth between Esther and Mordecai. He sends back a copy of the edict and says, you read this. This is what they're going to do. But he also sends another note with that. And he says to her, Esther, I want you now to go to the king and to go plead for the life of your people. In other words, Esther, reveal yourself. It's time not to just take a stand. It's time to do something. Esther writes him back and says, are you nuts? You know that there's a law that says no one is allowed to come into the presence of the king unless the king asked them and asked for their presence. If you walked in there, you would be killed. That was the law. And by the way, he hasn't asked for me, and I haven't been in his presence for at least the last 30 days. So no, Mordecai, I'm not going to get myself killed doing this. That's where we pick up the story, verse 12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, Esther, but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. How do we survive the winter times of our lives? When the marriage has no joy, when the bank account has no money, when the grave is occupied, but only me sleeping on the one side of the bed and the other side is empty, and I cry myself to sleep every night, and I'm desperate and I wonder, how do I get through this winter? Maybe then it's time to remember Mordecai's words that we read again. Two things I want you to notice. And And I know the first one is going to be really hard. Alette said the other day, it's kind of when you get in here, it's kind of, you have to fasten your seatbelts. You got to fasten your seatbelts for this one. It's a little hard. And I'm sorry, but it's, maybe we need to just hear this. Two things. The first one, and there's a slide for this, Ted. No one gets a free pass when it comes to the difficult times of our lives and to the winter of our lives. No one only has spring and summer and spring and summer. So Esther, don't think because you're sitting in the palace that you're going to get a free pass. Life and the harshness of life and the realities of life will come knock on every door. And you're sitting here saying, thanks, Aubrey. That just made my week. Wonderful news that you gave me. I'm going to go back to school after March break, and it's going to be all fun and games after hearing this. Fact is, some of us need to hear that. And sometimes we just need to do this when we say that. Some of us need to hear this because, unfortunately, sometimes we get pulled into this thinking that being a Christian, that being a Christ follower is a yellow brick road. And the easiest way to get to Kansas is just a click of those ruby reds, and I'm there. And then life happens. And when all of this stuff happens, I have to deal with the stuff, and then I don't know how to deal with the stuff. And to make it even worse, then I have to deal with the God who I feel who hasn't kept his promises. Because didn't God promise that life would be a joy, and it would be full of prosperity, and the highways would never be filled with snow, and there would be never dark winter days? Isn't that what God promised? And God says, I never made that promise. This is what God says, and there's slides for these, Ted. John 16, 33. In this world, you will have trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Sometimes it will feel as if you are facing the sentence of death. Isaiah 43, my favorite. You will go through waters. You will go through rivers. You will go through the fire. There is no free pass. Life will knock you down. Sometimes there is no promise in the Bible that every day will be sunny skies, blue skies, and sunshine. No promise. But here's the second part, and now you can loosen the seatbelt a little bit. This is the second thing I want you to notice from the words that Mordecai says. The second thing he says is, but relief and deliverance will come. It doesn't stay winter. Spring will come. Summer will come. Relief and deliverance will come. And I'm thinking, is this the same Mordecai? The guy who said to Esther, don't you say a word. Keep your identity secret. Don't stir the pot. Just go with the flow. And all of a sudden, this Mordecai says, no, Esther, stand up. Because here's the thing, Esther, if you don't stand up, God will stand up in any case, and relief and deliverance will come. Where did this come from? I don't know. It's not written here, but in my mind, I'm thinking, I wonder if maybe Mordecai thought back in history a little bit. And maybe Mordecai thought, Moses and the Israelites. So there they were. The sea on the one side that is closed, and an angry Egyptian army coming at them from the back. And there they stuck. Maybe he remembered this young shepherd boy, David, who stood only waist high against this Goliath of a giant. Or maybe he remembered Daniel, right there in the lion's den with growling lions coming at him. And he remembered. God spoke up. The sea opened up. David stood up, and the lion shut up. Because relief and deliverance will come, even in the harshest of winters. See, here's the thing. God has never changed. God has never lost a battle in his life, ever. You show me when God lost. See, problems, our winter harsh problems are to God what a mosquito is to a hurricane. No match. And Mordecai knew that when he writes this to Esther. Can I ask you, do you know that? I'm going to take you back to those verses that I gave you because I didn't give you the full verse. Let's go back to the full verses. John 16:14. Put it up there, Ted. It's on there. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace also in the winter of your life. Because in this world you will have trouble. And there I've taught you about the biblical but. There's your biblical but. And it's a big but. But take heart. Why? Because I, not you, I have overcome the world. You will have trouble, but hold on to me, because I'm going to get you through the winter. And you will see springtime and summer. Go to 2 Corinthians. Indeed, we felt that we'd received the sentence of death, but there's your biblical but. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves and be blinded by our circumstances, but that we rely on God, who does the impossible, who raises the dead. If God could raise the dead, Dave, can he handle your problems? I bet. If God can do that, can't he take care of my little life? If only I realized, do not rely on yourself, but on God. Isaiah 43. This is the one that you're going to read at my funeral one day. It's my passage for my funeral. When you go through deep waters, and you will, that you will not be alone, because I will be with you. Do you get it? When you go through the rivers of difficulty, and you will not be alone. You will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, and you will not be burned up. And the flames will not consume you. Why? Because there's the but this time it's a for. For I am the Lord your God. I've never lost a battle. I have never changed. I have never broken my word. I am the Lord your God, and I am your Savior, your Redeemer. Relief and deliverance will come. Does your view of God include, my friends, a promise of a certain relief that will come and a divine deliverance in your life? Do you believe that? Some people say no. This world is just broken, and it's going to be broken, and we'll just live and die, and then we'll go home. No. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel that is filled with hope. Because here's the thing. Yes, troubles will come, but we don't face it alone, because God made the promise that he has tethered himself to us through his love. And he showed that when he sent his love into this world. And Jesus became one like us. And gets this. Do you think Jesus only had summer and springtime? Was it summer carrying that cross? Was it summer being thrown with stones? Was it summer when your friends turn your back on you? Was it summer when you stand in that garden alone and your sweat is like blood? He took all of our brokenness onto that cross. And his death gave birth to my and your life. Life eternal. And I have come, said Jesus in John, that you may have life in all of its abundance, also through your winter time. And when he walked out of that grave and rolled that stone away that we sang about this morning, Jesus says, listen to me. I am coming again. And when I come, I will make everything new. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain or sorrow, for the old order of things have gone away. So when the winter times come, maybe we should remind ourselves of Mordecai's words. No one gets a free pass, but relief and deliverance will come. And then those last words, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position, Esther, for a time like this. Man, Lord, I rather wouldn't want that. Could we just keep the winter times away? Listen to Esther's answer. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai, verse 15. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Wow, what happened? Just a few moments ago, Esther said, I can't go to the king, I'm going to die. Stop your antics. And now Esther says, whether the law says it or not, I am going. If I perish, I perish. Maybe she heard the words that Mordecai was saying. It is for a reason that you are placed here at this moment, in this time, Esther, John, Susan, Peter, Elizabeth, James. You were placed there on purpose, for a purpose. Here's the thing. That's what God's saying to you. For such a time as this, you were born. For a reason, on purpose, for a purpose. And who knows how many people can be blessed by you when you walk through your storm and you shine the light of Jesus. Because here's the thing. We're not doing this alone. It's not that God's not going to show up. It's not that God cannot be trusted. The question is us. Do I believe that relief and deliverance will come? And am I ready to join the team? Because who knows that maybe you were born and placed where you are for such a time as this. Amen. Your word, Lord, is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, even in the harsh winters. When it is dark and there's blizzards. Thank you that you are always there. Thank you that we know, because we saw that. When this world was in its deepest, darkest winter, you came, Lord Jesus, and relief and deliverance came into this world. And we so wish, Lord, that there weren't winter days and it wasn't hard. But we know it is. But we don't have to face them alone. We can face them with you. And with you, Lord, David said that we can take on a whole army. Not because of who we are and how strong we are, but because of who you are. We cannot rely on our own strength. And today we just want to place ourselves before you and say, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. I can't do this. When I get into that river, Lord, it's just going to take me away and I'm going to drown. But you can swim and you can hold my head above the water. And when I see the flames, I'm scared. Thank you that there's another in the fire standing next to me. So thank you for this word. Thank you for reminding us of who we are in you and what we have in you. Thank you for the promise of springtime that will come. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.